Welcome to the Porchhorn Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund, broadcasting live from the Firefall Studio. Firefall Talk Radio broadcast live on Spreaker.com. You can also find our shows archived here if you download the app on your smartphone, your tablet, or such device. You can have access to the shows immediately, and you can share them. And we are also found on Blog Talk Radio, where we've archived our shows for the last 7 years. 7 years worth of archives at blogtalkradio.com, firefall-talk-radio, and iTunes and iHeartRadio. We're just everywhere right now. So share it. Let's get the word out. Let's restore the priesthood of the believer. Let's learn from the good things and even the mistakes of the Book of Acts Church. But let's find the Word, the purity of the Word, the power of the Word, the presence of the fire of the Holy Spirit. The day of Pentecost, fire still falls. That has always been my belief, and you can't talk me out of it. The Porch is an outreach of Solomon's Porch, Inc. on solomonsporch.org. If you want to reach out to us, visit us, use the contact button. You can support us there or go to firefalltalkradio.com as well. We would appreciate your support. And for those of you that do, we appreciate you. Our listeners at here on Spreaker and Blog Talk and iTunes and iHeartRadio, I sincerely appreciate you. If you want to reach out to me, do so. Many of you do. You share something that has inspired you or affected you, and you ask questions, and I do the best I can to keep up with all those emails, but please do that. Sunday night, Reflections in the Dark, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, same place. And we talk about things from a end times, prophetic, supernatural, paranormal perspective. We take a unique look at things that you really don't find anywhere else. So we always start out with praise reports and prayer requests. My praise is for the Lord, His love, His grace, His mercy for my salvation, for my home, for my wife, my family, my pets, my possessions. This ministry, which is His ministry, it's not mine. You'll never see my name on this ministry. It took me many years to even put my picture next to it, and that was the Lord prodding me to do it. I really didn't even want to do that. I praise Him for you, His favor and provisions, for the dreams and the visions, and the fact that He even considers me. I get how David felt, that He even considers me, that He shares things with me. I praise Him for healing my body and renewed vigor. You know, some days are better than others, but that's life. We live in a fallen world, but I am believing for divine restoration and healing, returning back to my divine design, not the body that my cellular structure recreates every 4 days as each cell dies off and puts a new one in. I'm believing that at some point here, it's going to return back to the design that the Father had for me so that I can do everything He's called me to do. And that's also part of my prayer request for me and for all of you, that we focus on healing and restoration in accordance with His word and His will. For me, for my wife, and my family, I'd ask that you pray for us. Protection. In case you didn't know it, there is a roaring lion out there, and he's looking to devour people. And that's not going to stop until the Lord comes back, folks. We're going to talk a little bit about that later. Inspiration. I'm praying for the remnant to wake up. I know you are. You're awake. You're alert. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening. I'm praying for others, members of the remnant, to find us, to find this show, to find this community, and to get on board with what's happening and what's coming. We should rise up and answer the call to action. And I'm praying for those who have the ability to bless, to be a blessing. Prayer covering for SRT, as I've already said, and I will continue to do so until it's over, and probably afterward, because the enemy's not going to like what we do. We are embarking on the largest mission yet this summer in Atchison, Kansas in August. We'll be there for 6 days. We'll be shooting a documentary called The Deep Darkness. We'll be exposing the paranormal and the supernatural from a perspective that nobody else has done or can do. We're very unique in what we do. So we are creating an international aerial support team. Some of you have already responded. Wait, I can fix my tongue. All right, I got it. You have already responded, and as soon as I have that all worked out, I will send that to you, and you can pick your slot. I'll know who's praying when, and I thank you for that. This mission to 2017 that we've been on, to expose the enemy, seek the lost, help the dying, destroy the works of the fallen, and to awaken the church and bring some fire, some Holy Spirit throne room fire. To do that, Firefall, SRT, their equipment needs that we have, and prayerful direction on the people to choose and how to do what we're calling to do. I already mentioned the documentary, The Deep Darkness. We are looking for prayerful support, financial support, in-kind support, which is people that sponsor and they have a product or a service and they donate it. If you are interested in that, you can go to the website, thedeepdarkness.com, all one word, thedeepdarkness.com, and contact us. If you have a resume or you want to be considered for something on this project, which would primarily be post-production, maybe marketing and promotion, maybe you have a gift in music composition, write us there. Peggy in Trustville, a close friend, a member of this family, the Porch family, she needs prayers. Her mother has been battling her health issues. So you need, and I'm asking this very strongly, to pray for Peggy's mother. She needs prayers for healing, restoration, and protection from this onslaught. Kim in Fort Mitchell, she says, I praise him for my little baby boy. He is such a blessing. I praise him for Yeshua, my sobriety, the air that I breathe, my children, everything he provides for us. She says, Father, I'm struggling with some things, sleepless nights, getting into a routine with the baby, the way she sees herself, that body image. The way I see people around me, I know all these things don't seem like a big deal, but they do make me sad, and she says, I can't be sad and feeling low and keep my eyes focused on you at the same time. Kim, there's your answer right there. Take your eyes off of those things and put them on him. So she said, I'm asking for prayers to get me back on track. I'm also asking for protection over my children and for a peaceful summer break. Protection from the storms and flooding that are going on there. She's asking for the Father to create an opportunity for her to make some money from home for her husband and mother's salvation. She asked for prayer for SRT and our families to be protected from the enemy. And she says she has three unspoken prayers that the Father will know what it is. So pray that the Father answers them and gives her a sign. Now, folks, when I offer these up, I know we've dwindled down to one or two, and we used to have a lot more. It doesn't matter how many we have, but the fact that I offer them up and take this time to do it means pray. Pray for these people. Some of you out there listening, I don't know you. You do listen because I see the numbers. If one could put 1,000 to flight and 2, 10,000, just think what 100 or 200 or 300 people could do. Father, we come to you now in the name of Yeshua, the name above all names. We praise you, we thank you, we glorify you, we worship you. You are Abba, Papa, Daddy. And we boldly approach the throne of grace and mercy. You've heard the prayers that I've offered up here for me and SRT and Firefall, for Peggy and her mother and Trustville and Kim and what she's asked, and all the ones that are offering up their prayers as I'm speaking now, Father. You are so awesome and wonderful that you can hear all these things at once. So you are El Elyon, God Most High. You are the King of the universe. We believe and we receive what you have for us, Lord. The openings, the blessings, the provisions, the direction. We want to glorify you. So right now, we take our thoughts captive to the obedience of Messiah. We claim the mind of Messiah. And we cast down every vain imagination that would exalt itself above you, El Elyon, God Most High, our Abba Father. Lord, bless this time. Bless your children and your remnant. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the empty tomb. We thank you for the upper room and the fire of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh that you sent down, that still burns, still flows, still inspires us, that dunamis power right now that is flowing to Peggy's mother, that is touching Kim, that's touching us, me, my wife, my children, my path, your path. Father, glorify yourself through us right now. So the world would know that there is none like you. Bless this time, bless this word, bless and protect the technology. I thank you, Lord, and I pray and I believe, and if you agree with me, just say amen. These lessons are proprietary information, except where noted that the information comes from outside sources. The combination of that information and the manner presented is exclusive, cannot be repeated or reused without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. So this lesson, which is called Tribulation, is inspired by the prayer time I had with the Lord yesterday. I just kind of lay in there. I don't sleep a lot lately, mostly because of what's going on spiritually and preparing for Kansas. So I just lay there and I pray. And he tends to wake me up in the fourth watch between 3 and 6 in the morning. And as I just began to pray and began to, I don't want to say gripe, but go over everything the enemy's been doing for the last 2 months, and will do for the next 3 as we head towards this event. And he spoke this scripture into my spirit. It's John 16:33. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And you simply said, in the world, you will have tribulation. Simple message. I mean, if he was like me, sometimes I'm not very patient. Okay, a lot of times I'm not very patient. I live a warrior's life, and I have a warrior mentality and a warrior's lifestyle. And sometimes when I hear people gripe or whine or complain, what I want to say is, suck it up, buttercup. But I can't. I'm not a military drill sergeant, and that really doesn't work anyway. In the military, you're forced to listen. In ministry and doing what we do, it just doesn't work, and it doesn't work with me either. Though I respond to it, if the Lord were to speak to me that way, I would say, yes, sir, snap to, but it wouldn't change how I feel. And I know it doesn't with you. So I looked at the other translations of John 16:33. The New Living says, I have told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. The Amplified says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulations and trial and distress and frustration, but be of good cheer. Take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. So I just said, let me summarize that. Well, you will have tribulation. You will have many trials and sorrows. In the world, you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. Take heart. In him we have perfect peace and confidence. Can he be any clearer than that? Every day, tribulation, trials, distress, and frustration. Why? Because this is not our world, and this is not our home. So when you begin to look at those scriptures and how they tie to other scriptures, a very clear message comes about that preachers don't seem to want to preach. Because when you tell the truth, let me just say this, I've said it before, but let me say it again. When you tell the truth, people don't want to tithe or bless that. They don't want to bless the truth. They want their ears tickled. They want to be told they're going to be okay. They want to be told everything's fine. I will only tell you the truth. And I'll only tell you a truth that lines up with the word, no matter what. I'm not looking to drive people away and definitely not looking to keep from being blessed, but I will not compromise the word, because at some point, those people who are being coddled or spiritually deceived will wake up and be very angry and feel very betrayed. John 15:18-21, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. But if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But in all these things, they will do to you for my name's sake. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If they don't know the Father, they're not going to like you or what you represent. John 17:14-16 goes on, as he speaks to the Father, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Can he be any clearer? The world does not want him. The world does not want the light of the gospel, of the spirit of truth that we offer. It's really clear in John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Oh, they didn't just like the darkness. They loved it because their deeds were evil. The evil in this world is exposed by the light we have, and it cannot overcome them. And it frustrates them, and it drives them into a demonic frenzy. When people live in a spiritual darkness, a deep darkness, if you will, they don't desire to be enlightened by the light of the word, by the light of the world. Yeshua. That's so clear and so logical, yet I continue to speak to people that think that they can fit in the world and the world will accept them as they are. Well, if I just tone it down a little bit, if I just word it this way, they'll accept me. No, intrinsically on a spiritual level, they can never accept you. It's like the scorpion and the frog. Eventually, they're going to sting you with the desire to kill you. John 8:12, and Yeshua spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. John 9:5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. See, the enemy did not want that. The enemy doesn't want it now. They don't want you to have it. So once you make that decision to make Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth, to make him Lord of your life, first making him Messiah, accepting what he did for you on the cross, you immediately make yourself an enemy of the world and an enemy of the fallen and their demonic offspring. Oh, you can keep quiet. You can lay low. You can Try not to ruffle feathers, but your very presence ruffles their demonic feathers. Evil and darkness do not ignore the light. They war against it. They try to bring it down. They try to bring you down. But they cannot extinguish that light. No matter what the enemy does to me, it doesn't change who Yeshua is. It doesn't change the gospel. For every preacher that falls, for every Christian that backslides, it's not a mark against the gospel. It's a mark against them. The enemy cannot defeat what the Lord intends. See, Isaiah 9:2 says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." We are called to be the light of the world. And there are some people that will be drawn to that light because they're tired of living in darkness. They're tired of their lives being the way they are. They're sick and tired of being sick and tired. But then there are other people that are going to hate you and hate that light. Some of them may be your friends. Some of them may be your families. They may be spouses and loved ones. Accept that now so that you can pray for them and minister to them and war against what's inside of them. Those who refuse to believe live in darkness, and they stumble because they cannot see. That's so simple. A spiritually blind person cannot walk right in this world. So why do we expect them to? Oh, well, you know, they're of a similar belief. And no, there is no similar belief. There is Yeshua and everything else. And in the end, no matter what they do, if they do not come into the light willingly, the light will eventually overtake them and their sins will be exposed. So having said that, having presented this case to you, is there any reason why we should believe anything other than that they hate us and the light we carry inside of us? I don't believe there is. Romans 12:2 says that, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Our conversion proves to the world what the good and acceptable perfect will of God is for mankind. We are living examples for Him. Nope, no pressure there. It's no wonder that when you get saved, when I got saved and I went back to New York and I got around, some people saw it and they were fascinated by it, and others, you could just see them grit their teeth. You could just tell that the hairs on the back of their neck were bristling, even if they didn't understand why. But at no time in these 28 plus years have I ever considered dimming that light or turning off the fire. Oh, there have been times I thought, well, maybe I can fit in. Maybe I can be covert. How do you be covert when you're marked by the blood and the spirit burns within you and people that the demons and the fallen angels, they can see that. Well, it doesn't mean I need to be obnoxious or religious. I will tell you, in all the spirits I've delivered and dealt with in the world, the religious spirit is the worst. But now, because of His love inside of me, and I hold that sword with that velvet glove of His love, I don't back down. I don't back up. But I do what I do based upon the fact I know they're bound. I know they can't see. I know they're in darkness. And there's a reason for it. I just simply need to listen to the Lord. Revelation knowledge, word of knowledge, whatever it is, to get them to a place where they either accept it or reject it. Titus 2:11 and 12 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age." You see, the world is blind to the light that we have. 2 Corinthians 4:4, "Whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Messiah, who is the image of God, should shine on them." It doesn't naturally see the light of the Lord through the Holy Spirit. It automatically is blind to it. I was initially. So is everybody I've ever witnessed to. I have don't know if I've met anybody that in the first meeting saw the light. And usually when I meet people, they get saved at a seminar or preaching or whatever. Somebody else has planted, somebody else has watered, other people have prayed, and I'm there at that moment of divine appointment. We are at war with this world. 1 John 5:4, "Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." We've overcome the world by our faith. That is our victory over the world. That doesn't sound very peaceful to me, peaceable. We're living in a world that we're at war with. If you can't see that in TV and movies and radio and some of the false teachings and everything that's going on right now, some of the most depraved, debauched darkness that I've seen in 28 plus years of being saved and doing what I do. If you can't see that, then something's wrong. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling. We're in nose-to-nose, deep warfare against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. They hate us. They hate you because you are made in the image of the one that rejected them and cast them down. They hate you because you have submitted to and established your lordship, the lordship of Yeshua, who's the one who cast them down, put them in the pit, did everything that's been done. Why do you think that, well, if I just lay low, if I just tone it down, maybe I won't say anything, I'll just slip in, slip out, they'll leave me alone? That's nonsense. That is absolute nonsense. You walk through a pit of snakes, one of them's going to bite you. You swim in a lagoon or a river with alligators or crocodiles, sooner or later, one of them's going to consider you food. We are called to hate the ways of this world. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of the Father abides forever. And to do so, to do otherwise, or to believe otherwise, is spiritual adultery. All that is in this world is not of the Father. And you cannot make it of the Father with New Age phrases or worldly jargon or putting a spin on it or, you need light. Light and love. If one more person who's supposed to be a Christian says light and love to me, New Age catchphrases cannot be applied to the things of God. There is the light of the Lord, there is the love of the Lord, there's the light of the Holy Spirit. If you're gonna speak of light and love, let's be specific. Well, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't really care. We're living in a world that's dying. We're living in a world that is under the sway of the evil one, and there's only one love they need to know about, and there's only one light they need to know about, and we need to be very specific about what love and what light we're bringing. James 4:4, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. 2 Peter 2:20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. I don't think Peter's pulling any punches there. First of all, if you come out of the world and decide, well, I'm going to go back, it's like coming out of Egypt and going back. They're not going to be nice to you. Oh, they may deceive you. They may play nice for a little bit, but they're setting you up for that fall. They're setting you up to take you out. Come out. Come out from among them and be separate. Take a stand. Decide, I am going to walk in the light as he is in the light. I'm going to be a living example of what grace and mercy and salvation, in the only name in which salvation can come, Yeshua, you will see a change. Yes, the enemy won't like it, I can guarantee you that. But you begin to affect people. See, the world does not want to hear about and is willingly ignorant of the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father of Jesus of Nazareth, the only way to the Father. All religions do not lead in the same direction. One religion, one belief, one faith leads to the Father through the narrow gate of Yeshua. All the others have various gates that lead to destruction. John 15:21, he said it. All these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. Think about that. How can a world who doesn't know him, doesn't want to know him, accept you and treat you right? And it is so painful and heart-rending to expect fairness and justice from an unjust, unfair world. If we bear his name, the world will attack us and cause suffering because of his name, because of his authority, and because of his impending return. They're going to want to put out that light. They're going to rail at you. They're going to shout at you. They're going to make you feel bad about yourself. And all you have to do is not listen. I know that sounds so hard, and I know that I'm saying this after 28 years of doing this. It's like the enemy attacking you about your sins and what you did in the bath. You've got to come to the place where you believe that you're a new creation and the person they're speaking about doesn't exist. Therefore, the accusations don't pertain to you. If he had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. And those who hate him hate the Father also. If he had not done the signs and the works and the things that confirmed him, they would have no sin. But they saw it all, and they hated both him and the Father. It's his words, paraphrase John 15:22-24. The world has no excuse. Yeshua took away their excuses. See, now they're accountable. That's what drove the Pharisees crazy, among other things. A powerful argument that backs people into a corner that leaves them no room for defense usually results in an angry response, a response of hatred. So why do we expect otherwise? Why do we expect that the world is going to accept us? We can't get along, and we can't go along to get along. This whole ecumenical, we all need to come together and get along, no. I can't get along with you if you, what you believe doesn't line up with the Word, if you don't know Yeshua, if He's not your Lord and Savior. I can't do that. If you're following a false religion or a lie about the gospel, I can't walk with you. Can't do it. See, that's why He sent the Holy Spirit. I don't know if I'm getting through to anybody. I don't know how you're receiving this because there is no interaction here. But I'm speaking to you from my heart because I know what's going on out there. I know what's going on in the spirit realm. I live it. I live it 24/7, whether I'm awake or whether I'm asleep, because of who I am and how He made me. But I understand how important the infilling of the Holy Spirit, both the gifts and the fruit, are. If you look at John 15, 26 and 27, this is the Amplified. But when the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Advocate, the Intercessor, Strengthener, the Standby comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth who proceeds, comes from, literally emanates from the Father, He Himself will testify regarding me. But you will also testify and be my witnesses, because you've been with me from the beginning. This isn't just the Spirit's responsibility, it's ours. We were given an advocate against an adversary, a spirit of truth against the father of lies, a blinding light against the powers of darkness. Now do you understand why He said you will have tribulation in this world? And I'm not talking about the great tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. I'm talking about everyday tribulation. But even the great tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, which the enemy knows is coming, and the impending nature of it, inspires a demonic backlash as well. Matthew 24:21, and then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world, until this time, no, nor ever shall be. Think about that. There will be great tribulation, affliction, distress, oppression, such as not been from the beginning of the world. No, never will be again. And if those days are not shortened, no human being would endure and survive. But for the sake of the elect, God's chosen one, those days will be shortened. See, that's a clear, the tribulation of Matthew 24:21 is a clear difference between the one in John 16:33. The 16:33 tribulation is just the everyday life of a believer in Yeshua. Matthew 24:21 is the great tribulation. A tribulation that's even worse than the days of Noah and the times before the flood. I mean, I was talking to Brian in Tennessee about that today. Think about that. This tribulation that's coming, which He will shorten because it would destroy us and everything, is even worse than the days of Noah. It has the same cause and effect, but it's even worse. And there's many reasons I can go into the possibility of why it's worse. Maybe because they're coming out of the pit and they're severely ticked off. Maybe because the spirits and the demons on the earth were the ones that were in the bodies of the Nephilim, and they're really not happy. They're very angry, by the way. That's possible. Maybe just because after all these thousands of years, they're so diabolically, demonically deranged. That's very possible, too. But whatever the reason is, what we're looking at, what's coming, what could be just around the corner, is worse than even that. It's worse than anything the world has ever seen before. Zechariah 14:2-4, for I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight amongst those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half towards the south. Judgment upon this world, judgment upon the fallen, just judgment upon their offspring, upon the nations, upon the leaders, upon the kings, both natural and spiritual. It is coming. They can't get away from it. See, we're not the only ones that have tribulation. They do too. Oh, they're very distressed and frustrated by us. And those of us that do what we do, especially casting them out and pulling down strongholds and closing portals and setting captives free and getting people saved, healed, and delivered. Plus those of us that remind them every chance we get that judgment against the fallen and their demons and those in the world who did not choose to worship the one true God is coming. I just might be one of those people that reminds them of that. See, the Word says that. Part of Romans that could get me in trouble, I don't know, but if you preach it in the world, they arrest you. In certain countries, they'll put you in jail. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and the Godhead, so they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies amongst themselves, who changed the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even the women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. But even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. That's the world we live in today. That's the world that some of our brothers and sisters want to fit into, want to belong to, want the validation of. How? How can you get the validation and the approval of that world? Why would you even want it? Paul goes on in Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 9, but in accordance with your hardness and impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality, but to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Greek. They choose to do evil. They choose to do worthless, depraved, wicked things. Why would I want their validation? Why would I want their favor? Oh, yes, you can tell me you need worldly favor for your money and your banking, and I get all that. But they're only playing nice with us now because they have to. As soon as they control all those things, as soon as they don't have to play nice with us anymore here in America, like they're doing in the Middle East and the rest of the world, oh, they will. They will. See, their immorality is deep-seated, inbred character flaw because their very thoughts are evil. And as I wrote that, I went, wait, I've heard that before. That has a biblical reference. That when the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and intention of all human thinking was only evil continuously, the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved at heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy, blot out, wipe away mankind, who I created from the face of the ground, not only man, but the beasts and the creeping things and the birds of the air. For it grieves me and makes me regretful that I made them. But Noah found grace, divine favor in the eyes of the Lord. See, Noah was a just and righteous man, blameless in that evil generation, because he walked in a habitual fellowship with God. Yep, the very thoughts, the evils, the intent of the mind, the very same mankind existed in Genesis 6. The very evil that inspired the flood that existed then exists now. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. As do we. You see, this story of tribulation, as I said, is not just our tribulation, it's theirs as well. And they can deny it, they can fight against it, they can rail, they can claim they're going to get victory, and all the things that I've heard them do. But they will suffer. And they will be in anguish because of their habitual sin and rebellion against the living God. But I will say this. When he said he was grieved at the heart, he will be grieved at the heart again. Even in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 33. For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. He doesn't want to have to do this, but he does. He didn't. Want. To have to do what he did, but he had to. The mankind that he wiped out, except for Noah and his family, were not his. The fallen had so corrupted humanity all over the world that it was beyond redemption. It was reprobate. Even down to the cellular and DNA structure, it was beyond being fixed. See, that tribulation is not meant for us. That anguish, that day of tribulation, that which leads to the great tribulation, which is Jacob's trouble and the day of the Lord, that's not meant for us. See, he didn't appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Adonai Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord Jesus, the Messiah, who died for us. That whether we are awake or asleep, dead or alive, we should live together with him. See, that tribulation is a different one from 1633, but one leads to the other, and they kind of run on a parallel track, as do many things in the Bible. See, for the Lord loves justice, but he will not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off, Psalm 37:28. Jacob's trouble is Israel's trouble. In the middle of the great tribulation that will lead to the day of the Lord, that's not meant for us. And some of these teachers who tell you that it is must read a different Bible. And pretty much all of them are reading teachings that come from one particular seminary. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That's his promise in Matthew 24. So let me leave you with this. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. That's Galatians 6:9. Preaching to me too. 2 Timothy 2:3, you must therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. See, Caleb and Joshua, without salvation, without the infilling of the Holy Spirit, because they fully believed in him, they had a different spirit inside of them. They saw the promised land. See, the promise in Numbers 14:24, because Jacob and Joshua, the son of Nun, because of how they felt about the Lord, because they believed that they could take down the giants, because they believed in him and the power of his name and what his promises were and were willing to go do it, they saw the promised land and all the rest did not. Because they trusted in the Lord, it qualified them for the promised land. You see, they stood up to the critics. They stood up to the other spies. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense and the shadow of protection is moved from over them. But the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation said to stone Joshua and Caleb. But the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting before all the Israelites. Oh, they murmured and they complained, and everybody over the age of 20 died in the wilderness. Those under 20, the ones who the others feared would become the prey of the enemies, they entered the promised land. We cannot fear man, we cannot fear the fallen. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever leans on, trusts in, and puts his confidence in the Lord is safe and set on high. That snare, that hook or their noose that's used for capturing animals has no power over me because my trust is in the Lord. I'll stand toe to toe, nose to nose with anything. When God is in something, when the Father is in it, man should never fear the results. Because my God, my Father, my Lord, and the Spirit that is within me is greater than all in this world, than anything the fallen can do, anything the demonic spirits can do, and he will fulfill his word. So be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure your hearts are not evil and unbelieving. And turning away from the living God. You must warn each other every day, while it's still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end and trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Messiah. Hebrews 3:12-14. And since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin that easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Yeshua, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. That was Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, and let me leave you with this argument. The spiritual legal argument from Romans 8, subsection 37 to 39. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Messiah Yeshua, our Lord. Father, I come to you now in a time of tribulation, in a world of tribulation, and I praise you. For you are with us. You've never left us. You've never forsaken us. You've gone to make a place for us. Can I have the one with the window over the water? I love you, Lord. We love you. The people listening now love you. They love you with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength, with all their might, with everything that is within them. And we praise you. So help us right now. Take off the frustrations. Just bathe us. Bathe us in your spirit. Bathe us in the oil from the throne room. Bathe us. Cleanse us with the fire. Lord, just let it fall. Let it fall. And we'll stand together, shield to shield, side by side. The enemy can't defeat us. He's going to have to face us. And more than that, he's going to have to face you. So we long for your return. We long to hear the sound of the trumpet and the shout of the archangel. We long for the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And right now I ask for my brothers and sisters to check the oil in their lamp. Are you ready for the return of the King? Are you prepared in heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit for him to come? And are you bringing people with you? Your brothers and your sisters and your husbands and your wives, your aunts and your uncles, are you on your knees, on your face? Are you pleading for their salvation against the powers of darkness and for them in the throne room? Help us, Lord, to do that. We're tired, we're weary. Some of us are brokenhearted. Heal that too. Now, Father, rain down those blessings. Fill the coffers, fill the war chest, and turn us loose. Turn me loose, Lord. Turn me loose, Lord. I'm tired of hearing about children being blown up and our brothers and sisters being destroyed. I'm tired of watching what the enemy does in this world. I have a righteous indignation and a zeal for you in my heart. My sword is sharp. My face is set like flint. And for myself and all the others like that, turn us loose. And I pray this right now in the only name that matters, the name above all name, Yeshua HaMashiach, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. I'm Richard Grant. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.